Welcome to today's edition of the Bible Class. Our teacher, Dr. Kenneth C. Hill, is teaching from the Old Testament book of Job. You may send your questions by email through our website at whcbradio.org. That's whcbradio.org. Or you may mail your questions to the Bible Class, care of WHCB, Post Office Box 5, Bluntville, Tennessee, 37617. And now, here is Dr. Hill with today's lesson.
Welcome to the Bible Class. We're continuing our study in the book of Job, and we are at the exciting part. Well, exciting part to me. Some of you have been excited to hear from all of the various parties, from Eliphaz and from Bildad, from Zophar, from Elihu, from Job. Well, if you've been excited about hearing from the human beings, you're going to have to hold on to your hat now, because God is going to speak. We have recorded here, as we do throughout the Bible, but we have recorded here a specific conversation from God Almighty to his servant Job. God speaking directly to Job. This is unprecedented. This is fantastic. This is wonderful. This should get you excited, because we get a glimpse of glory in hearing Almighty God speak to an individual servant of his. Whenever I'm working for somebody, and I've worked for people all my life since I was 15 years old, and I worked for my mom and dad before that. But as far as working on a public job, when I'm working in a public place, on a public job, there's somebody that is in charge. And that somebody or some people who are in charge will tell me what they want me as their servant to do for them. Now, I have served in the public service. I have worked in governmental service. And I took that very seriously and took my oath very seriously to serve the public. And whenever I would get a letter, an email, a correspondence of some sort, or a phone call of someone asking a question or having a problem, and I could do anything to help them, I would do it. Even if I couldn't do anything to help, I would go try to find somebody who could help them in their time of need. I was a public servant at that point. And it's true that every one of us, you included, when you work for somebody else, you answer to them. And there are private conversations, perhaps, that you will have where the boss, your director over you, the administrator, the chairman, the whatever the position is that the person has, the foreman, they will have a private conversation with you and tell you, this is what I want you to do, and this is what I want you to know, and this is what I want you to understand. This goes beyond your general training. This is something from the head person. This is something from the home office. And it's specifically for you. Well, that's what we've got here in a far greater thing when God Almighty speaks directly to his servant, Job. Now listen how it begins in Job chapter 38. Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, notice, there was some majesty, some glory that was being brought in by the whirlwind. So God finally breaks his silence and speaks directly to his servant Job. And he says this, verse 2, who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge? It's absurd to think that a creature could ever become the critic of the Creator. And that's what these helpers, and even Job, has done. Here's a command from Almighty God. Gird up now thy loins like a man, for I will demand of thee, and answer thou me. So Job is commanded to get his armor on, to stand up like a warrior man, to have his strength, to be ready for whatever God has for him, because he says he's going to make demands of him, and he's expecting Job to answer whatever it is that God asks. And he begins in rapid succession here, verse 4 and following. Where wast thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare it, if thou hast understanding. Who hath laid the measures thereof, if thou knowest? Or who hath stretched the line upon it? Whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened? Or who laid the cornerstone thereof? When the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy. Now notice, when the earth began, when God created, and God did create the heavens and the earth, when God created this thing that we call the earth, who was the one that measured it? Nobody. Who put the line on it to make sure it was plumb? Nobody. What is the foundation of the earth fastened to? Nothing. Who laid the cornerstone thereof? It wasn't man, was it? If there's a cornerstone, it was laid by God himself. When the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy? You see, when the earth was created, when creation came into being, the stars and the angels, that's the sons of God that we've seen, joined in praise upon that creation. And we're told that stars, and this is what is totally remarkable, the book of Job contains so much information that is scientific, and we hear all this stuff all the time. The Bible is not a scientific book, and da-da-da-da-da, we don't need to believe in 6 days of creation, we don't need to believe in this, we don't need to believe in that, can't believe in the miracles. Hogwash. The book of Job, while the Bible is not a scientific textbook, it winds up being very useful in understanding science. The book of Job has more science in it than you can imagine when you go through it, as we have. We see it. And here we see that stars sing. The morning stars sang together. Now, here's the question. What do they sing? Well, they sing praise to Almighty God. And with the use of electronic telescopes, these great microphones that are picking up various electronic signals in the air, they have found that every star has its own wavelength, if you will, has its own melody and harmony and music. Each star gives off its own song. Now think about that. Think about that. And radio telemetry is used to figure out where stars are, which stars are which, and all that sort of thing. And they're listening, of course, trying to find out if there's life on other planets, when even the stars sing. Well, the stars sing because God made them to give him glory, just as he made man, that he could have fellowship with us and we could give him glory. So he made the stars to give him glory. But he also made the stars for a lot of other reasons. We'll get to see that as we go along. Verse 8, or who shut up the sea with doors when it brake forth, as if it had issued out of the womb? When I made the cloud the garment thereof, and the thick darkness a swaddling band for it, and break up for it my decreed place, and set bars and doors, and said, hitherto shalt thou come, but no further, and here shall thy proud waves be stayed. Who puts the boundaries on the oceans? It's not Job. It's not man. None of us can tell the oceans where to go, where to stop, how to be. None of us can give the oceans direction. None of us can tell the oceans not to flood or not to rise or not to have a tsunami. We can't do that. And that's what God is telling Job. Who put the bars here? Who put the doors here to shut down the ocean and its currents? He said, not you, but it was me. Continuing with our reading in verse 12, hast thou commanded the morning since thy days, and caused the day spring to know his place, that it might take hold of the ends of the earth, that the wicked might be shaken out of it? It is turned as clay to the seal, and they stand as a garment. Let's take a look at those verses before we get any further. We have here in this 13th verse, the dawn, how the dawn breaks. It's representing as sort of moving the cover of darkness off of the earth, and sort of shakes that blanket of darkness and shakes the wicked out just like it was dust. Pretty neat way to look at it. And then there in verse 14, it's turned as clay to the seal and they stand as a garment. It basically, when the dark earth stands out in clear relief, just like clay does before it's made into a seal. A seal is pressed into the clay and you see the imprint of that seal then in the clay. And so here the earth is seen just as clearly as if it had been stamped out in clay. A very interesting way of looking at it, and God presenting it here in poetic form. Verse 15, and from the wicked their light is withholden, and the high arm shall be broken. Hast thou entered into the springs of the sea, or hast thou walked in the search of the depth? Now, one of the things that has come out in science in the last several decades are the springs that are going on in the ocean. There are rivers in the ocean. There are springs in the ocean. There are currents in the ocean. But there are these springs that come out of the bottom of the ocean. Just as there's springs that come out of the top of mountains, there are springs that come out of the bottom of the ocean, refreshing the ocean with fresh water. It's a wonderful statement here that God gives us that tells us, gives us a glimpse of the sea that we don't have just by merely looking. Or hast thou walked in search of the depth? Have you been walking in the depths of the sea to see how deep the sea is? There are trenches that they tell us they cannot even tell us how deep they are with modern methods. They can come close, apparently, but can't tell us the depth. And he says, have you been there? Have you searched out the depths of the sea? Have the gates of death been opened unto thee? Or hast thou seen the doors of the shadow of death? Hast thou perceived the breadth of the earth? Declare if thou knowest it all. Do you know how big the earth is? Have you seen it? Have you perceived it? Well, of course not. This is God simply putting Job in his place. There is nothing wrong with being put in your place, and certainly nothing wrong with being put in your place by Almighty God. Here God is saying, Job, why are you thinking you can understand my thoughts when you are nothing but a mortal? You're nothing but a human being. Where is the way where light dwelleth? And as for darkness, where is the place thereof? That thou shouldst take it to the bound thereof, that thou shouldst know the pass to the house thereof? Knowest thou it because thou wast then born, or because the number of thy days is great? Do you know where we keep light or where we keep darkness? Well, of course not. We don't understand that. And Job did not understand that. He had no idea. He's speaking with irony here when he says, you know that because you were born? No. Because you're so old? Well, of course not. You're not old enough. You're not from eternity to eternity as I am in eternity. You can't know this. Now, do you get the idea that Job should be feeling very small at this point? I think he should. I think he should be feeling very, very small. In fact, that littleness will be of great benefit when he comes to repent before Almighty God for his foolish humanity and how he looks at things. Hast thou entered into the treasures of the snow? One of the favorite broadcasts on WHCB 91.5 FM over the years has been Treasures of the Snow. And this is where the scripture is that they took the title for that series at Christmas time. Hast thou entered into the treasures of the snow, or hast thou seen the treasures of the hail? Well, what's he speaking of when he calls them treasures? He's talking about all of the wonderful things, beautiful things, lovely things that you can see and you can learn and you can know with the snow. Science tells us that there's not two snowflakes ever alike, that they're formed separately and they are beautiful. If you've seen them in some sort of magnification, they are so beautiful, so pristine, so tiny and fragile and yet so beautiful. And that's just looking at them. That's not even talking about their construction and how that there's a numeric way to see the construction of even snowflakes. There's a mathematical formula to follow. Or hast thou seen the treasures of the hail? Well, with hail, we just think, oh, there's a hailstorm and it's going to damage some sort of property. But no, here God is saying, how about the treasures of the hail? How that little ball is manufactured, how it's made, how that it has several layers of ice, because it is formed around a speck of dust, usually. And the speck is so small you probably could not see it with a naked eye. And this speck of dust then gathers a little water that freezes, and then it's blown back up. It gets more water, is blown back up, and it's always getting colder and colder and colder. And then this hail is built into a ball. Oh, it might be a ball the size of a pea or smaller, or it might be a ball that's the size of a golf ball, or even there have been those of softball size hail, and that is very dangerous hail. But think about the treasures of that and the beauty of the hail, which I have reserved against the time of trouble, against the day of battle and war. By what way is the light parted, which scattereth the east wind upon the earth? Now, do you understand then the concept of solar parting of the winds, how the wind is heated up by the sun, if you will, or how it's made to be? And here he's talking about solar working. Now, we have had automatic dryers since the world began. We could wash our clothes and hang them out on a line. That's pretty much automatic drying. It's called solar drying. The solar energy that hits the earth is now being used by photovoltaic and other methods to become electricity and to be used in energy in other ways other than just the sun itself. But over the years, solar energy has been used even in very, very modern times and very, very ancient times, has been used to heat water, has been used to with magnification and various kinds of glasses, been used to cause fires, has been used to bring energy and heat into homes. You see, here he's talking about the way light parted, which scatters the east wind. He's talking about the wind currents. And we could go on and on and on. We'll have to do that next session.
Thank you for joining us today for this edition of the Bible Class with Dr. Kenneth C. Hill. You may reach us by email by going to our website, whcbradio.org, and sending us an email on the Contact Us link. That's whcbradio.org. If you prefer to use the postal service, our address is The Bible Class, WHCB, Post Office Box 5, Bluntville, Tennessee, 37617. That's The Bible Class, care of WHCB, Post Office Box 5, Bluntville, Tennessee, 37617. You may also call us at 423-878-6279. Until our next Bible Class program, we are trusting that the Lord will richly bless you as you serve Him.